there, and welcome to the Lazy Artpreneur Podcast. I'm Lexi Reed, your friendly guide on this artistic journey. Consider this your shortcut to success, sparing you endless hours on Google and YouTube trying to crack the code of content marketing. In each bite-sized episode, I'll be sharing three easy steps to craft fresh content, repurpose it wisely, and shine a global spotlight on your art. Overwhelmed by tech jargon or tools like AI and Zapier? No worries, this podcast got you covered. Forget about that 50-50 marketing rule. Let's maximize our art and minimize the hustle. Do you feel the call of the wild within you, urging you to create? Today, we're answering that call with someone who speaks the language of nature and art fluently. Welcome to the Lazy Artpreneur Podcast, where I'm joined today by the extraordinary Kelly Herrick. And she's not just your usual artist, but she's a beacon of creativity on a mission to uplift tired, busy, and lost souls, rewilding them with creativity. With a profound connection to the raw green energy of Mama Earth and a playful, intuitive approach, Kelly has the unique ability to unleash pure magic. Growing up on the fair, surrounded by the whimsical and enchanting, her soul was shaped by the wonders around her. Her painting style, inspired by those formative years, celebrates the untamed wild places of the world, characterized by its loose, expressive nature. Each brushstroke from Kelly's hand is an invitation to embrace the untethered spirit within us all. But Kelly's passion extends far beyond the canvas. As an admired teacher of over 10,000 students, she shares the transformative power of creativity through her online courses, captivating in-person events and retreats, leading participants on a journey of self-discovery and artistic expression. Known for her collaborative spirit, Kelly embarks on creative projects that push boundaries and ignite collective inspiration, fostering a vibrant community thriving on the magic of shared artistic and nature-inspired journeys. Her wider experiences include speaking engagements for the Pecha Kucha International and Creative Mornings, an appearance on the BBC, and co-authoring a book of women's wisdom for charity alongside 32 other remarkable women. In today's episode, I'm thrilled to explore Kelly's art journey from a profound realization at age 40 to becoming an inspiring teacher and collaborator. We'll talk about her deep connection with nature influences her expressive art, the balance between creation and the business of art, and the transformative power of creativity in personal and community healing. This conversation promises not just to inspire, but to spark a reconnection with your own untamed creative spirit. So join me as we journey through the wild landscapes of creativity and discovery with Kelly Herrick, and let's answer the call of the wild together. Today, I have Kelly Herrick joining me all the way from the UK. So I'm going to let her introduce herself and give a little bit of background of how she's been going on this art journey and, yeah, what brought you to being an artist, I guess. So over to you, Kelly.
So not much that you want from me straight away. Yeah, hello, everyone.
Just unpack that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's lovely to be here with Lexi and you guys. I'm Kelly Herrick and I'm an artist based in the UK, as you said. And I guess really my passion is nature, magic, wild magic and creativity. So yes, I'm an artist, but also do lots of other creative things. So you will always find me kind of out in nature. I paint mostly landscapes and I'm really drawn to sort of really wild, natural, ancient, crazy places like stone circles and rugged coastlines and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I love to travel around and kind of put my art and my nature loving together, really. And how I got to be an artist, I am self-taught. I left it alone for a long time after school. And I have worked a lot in the creative industries and still work in a design studio. And then just kind of turned 40. So this is about a decade ago. And thought there's got to be more to just kind of mumming and wifing and working and all of those things that we get to at a certain age, and just realized that painting and drawing and art was something that had never gone away, and just kind of re-sparked my passion, went out and learned lots of different techniques and just explored and really dived into it all. And then find myself here kind of a decade later, and now a teacher, and I do online courses and in-person events and teach at an art school and yeah, all of that. So kind of a roundabout route to get to it, I guess.
And so how do you find juggling art and the business of making art? So, you know, finding time to be in the studio, but then also that finding the time to tell people about your art. And I assume you're selling your art as well. So how do you balance that?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, you know, as artists and creators, we just want to make stuff and just like get in touch with our artistry and for me, go out and walk and all that kind of inspirational stuff. So it is really challenging. And I like to pretend that I'm a really organized person, but I know I'm not really that super organized. So I'm quite rebellious by nature, quite rebellious against myself as well. So I have to find ways to make systems, process, the business side of things feel fun and feel like an intrinsic, authentic part of who I am. So if I was to set up a load of processes or a load of sort of diary dates for myself, I would rebel against myself, which I know is kind of crazy, but that's what I do. So I actually lean into that balance between the business side and the artistry side by bringing a lot of creativity to the business side and bringing a lot of authenticity to the business side. So like reaching out with you and connecting, it's kind of taking time to see the business side as part of this creative ecosystem. So a couple of years ago, I realized that my creativity is more like a biodiverse habitat or an ecosystem of its own. And I can be creative in a spreadsheet, God forbid. I can be creative when I'm making art. I can be creative when I'm collaborating with people. I can be creative doing many different things. And I think as soon as I took that sort of fake boundary away between this is me being corporate and doing my business stuff and then this is me being an artist and being cool, I kind of blended them together, and that feels for me a lot more harmonious, and I don't have to fight for the balance quite so much because it feels like one kind of blends into the other and it's all super creative. So I think if you look at it as a creative practice, building your art, the business of your art, I think that that's a really lovely, luscious, juicy way to look at it.
No, I like that. I like that separating the boundaries, I guess. So you're not just wearing, as you said, the corporate hat, and then I'm going to wear my mom hat, and then I'm going to wear my art hat. It's all finding that creativity and fun to the practice, which I guess, tell me more about your creative process. Tell me more about how you actually make the art. I can see it hanging behind you. Tell me a little bit more about, you said you're self-taught. Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So, I always start with nature. So I walk a lot and I go on little travels and expeditions a lot. I'm always over in the Celtic West of the British Isles. So always in kind of Cornwall, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, all of those. I don't know why. That's the place. So I guess that's the start of my process, is really connecting in and grounding myself in place. And I love to feel who's walked here before. How ancient is this place? Has this pathway been walked for thousands of years? What happened here? What was going on? You know, what's the weather like? How does it feel today? Can I feel the wind? Can I feel the sun? So all of that is absolutely the key that unlocks my process. I could never sit and just paint from photographs in a studio. I have to absolutely be outdoors. It's my happy place. So that's how I start. And I love to use my sketchbook. So I will often be out and about painting outside. So last summer I was up at the top of one of the hills in the Peak District here in Derbyshire. And it was just around a little bit of a boulder. And all of these hikers were like huffing and puffing their way to the top. And then I was sat there like some little painting elf. And it was hilarious. It shocked everybody who came up the hill. So I will often paint and sketch outside. And then kind of bring the spirit of place back with me. So I'll use my sketchbook, not necessarily to repaint the scene, but I'll use it to kind of work out color inspiration and shapes and marks and compositions that I really like. And then I'll kind of expand on that and take it further and take it take it larger. And at the moment, I'm really enjoying working on handmade papers, not by me, by really technically great paper makers, and just kind of allowing materials to do wonderful things, like water-based materials to run and be loose and kind of be natural and organic. So I guess that organic side flows through my whole process.
That sounds fantastic. I love picturing you up on this hillside, like a almost like a painting Buddha, you know, yeah, just at the top. So how do you continue to sort of learn and grow as an artist? You know, do you online courses? Is it just experimentation? You know, how do you sort of push what you've learned so far and take it to the next step?
Yeah, all of that really, Lexi. It's kind of just looking around for inspiration. There's kind of like soft inspiration all the way through to hard practical teaching. And it's like a beautiful spectrum. And I love to have things all along that spectrum. So yes, I will go and paint with really great teachers and learn that way. So when I say self-taught, I mean that I haven't been to art school, but I've been painting with a lot of really great painters. So there's that. And then there's kind of reinvestigating things and reinvestigating great artists. So I recently did a study in felt tip pen, marker pens of Van Gogh. And it was really interesting to use a really modern medium with his style and kind of learn from that. And then there's kind of the less practical, softer learning and inspiration that I find develops me. And that could be things like reading. I do a lot of reading about history and the history of where I'm walking and the spirituality side of things. So kind of, you know, really grounding myself in place and kind of letting place speak to me as well. And it's that whole wonderful spectrum from things that seep into you kind of unknowingly, that they just, you kind of, they're in your environment or they're in your crowd of people, all the way through to subscribing to people online, doing courses, going in person, you know, and chatting to people like you and seeing how you're doing things and what's new, finding great coaches and mentors and being part of great business communities. All of these things kind of come together in this like smorgasbord of learning and development. And I think going back to what I said about, you know, you can be creative with your business as well as creative with your art. And if you don't separate them so much, for me, that works better. It's a bit like the learning and inspiration, you know, learning from people as well as reading things or listening to wonderful music. It's all learning. And if you stop putting it in boxes, I think it accumulates more, you know, it does that snowball thing. Whereas if you keep it separate, it doesn't cross-pollinate with each other quite as much.
And you mentioned getting sort of coaching and mentorship. So what would you say that sort of moved your art business forward in the last year? Is there a tip that you wish you'd known 2 years ago that would have fast-tracked you?
Yeah, I think it was probably more like 2 years ago, but it was such a big moment that I'll use it here. I was probably like a lot of people out there thinking that making and selling art was the only thing. And I was kind of like, how do I make myself financially independent or, you know, achieve any sort of financial goals, business goals from making and selling art? It's really hard. And yes, I know there are people all over Instagram saying, I'm selling this for $5,000 and I'm selling this and I'm doing this. I don't think it's quite like that in reality for a lot of artists. I know a lot of artists. Yeah, I know a lot of artists, and I've not yet heard anybody say that. Even people who are in really great galleries, you know, they're not necessarily just selling art. A lot of people are teaching, a lot of people are writing, a lot of people are freelancing. So when I understood that my creativity was this ecosystem, and I did not have to just make art and sell art to be a successful artist or creator, I could do multiple things. And it was always there. It was always obvious, probably to everybody else. But I just realized that with the help of a mentor, with Kelly Wynn, and I was doing some pod coaching with her a couple of years ago. And it was almost all of a sudden, like I felt this pressure and heaviness just kind of lift off myself, but also off my art making as well, because I knew that I could teach, I could write, I could, you know, continue to do my wonderful day job part-time. I could do all lots of different things that accumulate this creativity and this kind of life force. And I didn't have to just put all my eggs in one basket. And I think there's a big pressure on people to say, particularly to maybe family and friends who you need to get support from, or you need to make believe in you. You know, it's like, I will do this. I will sell paintings. And it's kind of like, you don't have to prove that. And you don't have to prove your worth and success or achieve financial success just by producing art as an artist. Being an artist means we can do so many things. So I guess for me, that was the biggest takeaway. And it was kind of understanding that I could do all of these things and then choosing focus to develop those things. So it was seeing what was possible and then choosing a few streams of what was possible and developing that and really throwing my heart and soul into it.
No, that sounds fantastic. Let's jump on that. So you're saying you're focusing. Okay. So where are you putting your focus? Where are you putting your energy going forward with your art and your art practice?
So I guess my energy is kind of between being an artist and still being a technical artist and painting in actual ways and creating art.
Making physical art, yes.
Making physical art, yeah, absolutely. And then I had been teaching some really lovely courses that I still have that are art-based courses, but they have this lovely sort of wild-hearted soulfulness about them, which isn't really teaching artists how to be really great artists. It's teaching anybody who's interested in art how to kind of express themselves. And I started off with one called Wild Heart Creative Soul as a retreat, and it kind of morphed into an online program. And I think that lovely marriage between art for everybody and seeing people really light up by connecting to their soulfulness through their own art practice, whether that's drawing stick men or doing massive pieces of really technical art, you know, whatever your ability, that to me feels really wonderful. You know, putting people back into connection with their own creativity, almost like creative well-being or creative spirituality, feels really, really great. And I can see that comes across from kind of this wild magic wildness of my art. So it's very linked in terms of what I make versus what I teach. And I'm really starting to hone in on that sort of curiosity around how art can be a wellness tool. And at 49, I am perimenopausing, like millions of people out there.
We're the same age. The 5-0 is on the horizon. I can
exactly
see it. Coming closer. Yeah.
We're heading towards that. And I was kind of like, you know, there's way more to this period of our lives than just hormones and, you know, HRT and bodily changes and all those kinds of things. This is actually such a creative, transformational time. It's kind of like the myth or the folk tale of going into the woods and being transformed and coming out differently. And so that is really matching with nature and magic from my art, and then my personal experience of perimenopause has kind of collided or collated into this kind of exploration. It's my next project, or the project I'm working on now, of using art and hands-on art practice to help women manage, reblossom, reimagine, transform themselves through menopause and perimenopause, and using art as a creativity and a wellness tool. So I can kind of see the link between what I make as an artist and what I'm delivering as a sort of mentor or teacher. And this is what I meant about the ecosystem. It doesn't necessarily have to be A to B to C to D. I've kind of gone A, R, Z, B, 1, asterisk, around the corner, back again. And that's totally fine. That's totally fine.
No, actually, tell me more. So this is a future work that you're looking to develop. So are you going, how would you bring women of that group? Like, how would you target them? Like, how would you get your message out to them?
So I find, whether it's because of my, how I am and kind of what I put out into the world in terms of content and marketing, or whether it's my art, which is very colourful as well. I found naturally I've kind of attracted people, women 40 to 60 as a big chunk of my audience anyway.
Convenient, yes.
Exactly. So that was useful. It wasn't intentional. It was useful. But what I find is really, really interesting is kind of the trend, because it's more than a trend, but the way that the conversation has opened up around things like menopause this year has enabled me to connect with people I probably wouldn't have before. So where I find people is in the same place as everybody else does, but by kind of honing in on the conversation, whether that's on social media or in person. And it's just kind of, you know, there's so many tools out there to profile people. We know it's a certain age that women are going through this, 45 to 55, roughly. So I thankfully have a demographic that I could go after. I don't do that very much. For me, it's more about engaging in conversation. And fortunately, this year, this last 6 months, the conversation has become really vital and vibrant around that. So if anybody else has a niche, you know, it's very much finding the conversation and the engagement rather than just kind of broadcasting stuff about it. It's kind of going in and actually engaging with people who are really invested and passionate about that particular niche. And that's how I'm finding, you know, people who want to collaborate and people who are interested in the program and people who want my freebie and all that kind of juicy stuff. So, yeah, getting involved in the conversation.
And you mentioned putting sort of content out there in the social media. Yeah. So what sort of things do you consider when you're putting, you know, stuff out on Instagram? Like what sort of platforms do you, obviously artists love Instagram. It's very visual, but is there anywhere else that you is there anywhere else that you look at using? Sure. Or you mentioned also in person. So that's great after now the pandemic, having that opportunity as well.
Yeah, so I do love to kind of keep the in-person stuff bubbling away because it makes a difference to me personally. I like to chat to people face to face. You know, the Zoomiverse is great, but my goodness, doesn't it kind of drain you being on those screens all the time? So I'm a member of a studio of artists, and they have events and things, which is great because I can go there and people come. Lots of the public will come in and we'll chat, and you know, you'll take people through your sketchbooks, and you'll have really, really lovely, gorgeous chats. And then online, I do lead with Instagram. Because yes, I love it, but also I do know also that it's a female biased platform. Facebook is great too. It's on paper it looks as though it's good for my demographic, a slightly older female audience, but it's very much, I find, very much a pay-to-play platform. So I use that for private groups, so people who join my courses can come into private groups and I give extra value there. But what I find is really valuable is people entering into community with me, and that's really about email list building. Because I'm communicating, owning the list, and also seeing it as like a conversation rather than, like, I wouldn't just walk up to someone in real life and say, hey, do you want to buy this thing? You know, how much money have you got? Do you want it? Because if you don't want it, I don't want to talk to you. And yet people treat people like that on email lists all the time. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Because people don't want, it's like a conversation, right? So treat people online how you treat people in real life. So I actually sit down each week and write a newsletter. So it's just a really brief sort of magazine style newsletter with what I've been up to, but interesting things. And I like to write. So sometimes they're a little bit poetic. Sometimes they're just quite normal. And I'll share a piece of art every week and a bit of wild inspiration from nature and all these kind of things. And actually, I don't write it in batches and schedule it, which is what a lot of coaches and business mentors would tell you to do, because I love the ritual and the personal feeling of sitting down each week and writing that to a person. So when I open up my laptop, I don't just think, oh, I've got to write my email. I think I'm writing this to somebody, and I try and like envisage a person and then write. And I get so much lovely conversations back and comments on my emails. So for me, it's about finding conversation and engagement on social media and then helping people, inviting people, helping them discover me as a more conversational piece on email. And I think that's really where the value starts to build for people subscribing to me as well as me with them, you know?
And how do you get the people onto your list? Is it, do they sign up in person at your workshops? Do you have, you mentioned a juicy lead magnet. Can you speak more about that?
Yeah. So I've tried a few different lead magnets over time. Sometimes I just simply promote and talk about, I do a lovely weekly newsletter. It's full of inspirations and it's gorgeous. And if you want it, you can get it. And that sometimes works as well, because sometimes people are looking for, you know, lovely things to unwrap in their email inbox. But then, yeah, I've tried quite a number of lead magnets. And for me, I've used them seasonally, which has been quite interesting. So I've had things like a sketchbook guide, how to, you know, go outside and sketch. And obviously, when you come into autumn, winter, people are not wanting to do that so much. So right. That's quite good for spring, summer. But what I've also liked doing is moving more into this sort of creativity lead magnet versus just purely teaching art. So one that I was running last year, and you can still access it, is 100 ways to find your creative magic. And that was things that were art and making, but it also had things like start a new conversation or wear a different color or try different foods. So it was quite broad, and it helps people as a lead magnet, I think, come into the conversation without being scared that I'm going to teach them like 100 ways to paint watercolor properly. And if right. you don't do it properly, you're going to be wrong. So I understand that being really focused with a lead magnet can also work, but sometimes being gentle in a lead magnet is quite a nice invitation for people. And at the moment, my lead magnet is based around this Rebloom School, The Art of Empowered Menopause. And it's a meno relief toolkit, which is using.
Tell me more.
Yeah. So I got really up in my geekiness, and I kept seeing all these different menopause symptoms list, and I was cross checking them, and I was like, things on there and not on there and then on there. So first thing I did was I researched and cross checked loads of different credible menopause symptoms, and then I put them in a spreadsheet and I deduped them and I categorized them, and I kind of did all this silly, you know, geeky stuff. So that was the first thing I did, was create this master symptoms checklist. So that's like a really lovely practical juicy part of the lead magnet. But then what I went on to do is find creative hands-on, hearts-on making techniques that are proven to help with each of the symptom categories. So things like hot flushes, you know, I talk about using either using the heat as energy and fire, and painting a lovely, you know, bright and fiery colored abstract and kind of getting the energy out and using it, or alternatively using like really watery mediums and letting ink dribble and painting seascapes and cool colors and things, all the way through to really mindfulness techniques around expressing your pain in the form of art and using that to be able to communicate to your loved ones or to your colleagues what you're going through. So I've taken each of these like big themes of symptoms and given people these creative practices. So there's no prescription, there's no medication, there's no cost involved if you've got a bit of art materials hanging around. And it's doing really well. People are really excited by it, because I think with any niche, it's about finding like a niche within a niche, if you like, right. or a story within a niche, or a message within a niche. So many people are now talking about menopause, and I'm speaking to some really big influencers on Instagram and chatting with them. And no one's really talking about how exciting it is and how positive it is as a creative transformational period of our lives. So when I'm going to these influencers who are really like great at HRT or nutrition or movement techniques, no one's really talking about art and creativity around menopause. So for me, finding that, believing in it, you know, authentically, but also finding that as the story within the niche is really helpful. So I think you can be in any niche, but it's finding that that interesting little gem. That
right. Yes. Finding the gem, finding the gold, finding, you know, it's. So have you had any official collaborations, or these are still initial conversations with these influencers?
So they're initial conversations, and I've got some really exciting diary dates. Everybody seems to be on vacation the last week or two. great. You know, why not? Yep. When it's February and it's miserable. But I was, do you know, I had such imposter syndrome. I'd created my like influence list or collaborations list of different people I wanted to reach out to. And I was like, especially if they were bigger than me on Instagram, I was like, oh, well, they wouldn't want to hear from me. What have I got to say, really? And, oh, God, they're going to look at my profile and see I've got, you know, what is it, like 1,800 followers or whatever it is. Not massive, not tiny, not massive. Oh, I could really feel in my body and myself, I was really putting it off, really putting it off. And one day, a couple of weeks ago, I just sat down and made myself go through this list. And the first couple of people I reached out to, like, immediately came back and said, I'd love to hear more about this. This is a great idea. And I was like, okay, that's perfect. Amazing.
That's fantastic.
I was like, oh, why did I get in my own way so much? You know, I'm sat there thinking all these things and assuming all these things. It was just total rubbish. And once I actually did it and, you know, got my bravery and my courage together and just made that first email or first message, it seems to be being, received so, so well. So get out of your own way. Don't believe your imposter syndrome, I think, are two really big things about, particularly about collaborations and reaching out to other people, for sure.
Well, I can definitely speak to that because I felt nervous when I first put my, would anybody want to be on my podcast? But you're like, but if you don't ask, nobody will come. So definitely,
exactly.
I get it. It's, exactly. You got to take that first step, and it is scary. So I guess thinking of that, what other advice would you have for artists who are kind of just getting started, right? Like they're beginning to, you know, they've decided that art is important to them. They want to get out there. They want to start making things, like, you know, speaking to, say, the you of, you know, 5 years ago, what would you say to her?
Yeah. I would say get clear on what you want, because especially when we're often thinking about being an artist as a profession when we're exploring art as a creative output, right? So we're kind of picking up watercolors and acrylics, and then we're stitching a thing and doing collage, and then we're writing, and then we're doing all sorts of things. And that can be really hard. I'm not suggesting that you don't have hobbies and don't explore things as an artist, but I think when you get clear about what you want, it's much clearer to build a business around that, to build key messaging around that, to market yourself around that. And I'm not saying that, you know, you have to settle into watercolor forever. I use lots of different materials, but I know that my mission here on planet Earth is to rewild the world with creativity. That is absolutely the clearest I've ever been. And I probably did this sort of time last year. I kind of got that in my head, wrote it out and understood it and kind of feel it in my bones. So I know I want that. So when I talk to menopausing women, I feel like I'm rewilding them and reconnecting them to creativity. When I paint my landscapes, it's very much about helping people see optimistically how beautiful the world is so that they can, you know, feel wild again, feel connected to nature optimistically, and hopefully make changes to help the world and planet Earth. So I can use that, what I want, what my mission is, to as a filter. And I know I've made some decisions this year. I was looking at a collaborative project with two other women who I'm friends with, and we were looking at a creative project, and it was aimed more at B2B. It was aimed more at organizations, resorts, hotels. And we kind of went along for a few months, and we were quite excited, we were planning. And then I thought, why am I doing this? This is just actually about trying to make some money. It's not actually linked to my mission. And we all fell away from this project one by one, and it wasn't right for any of us. So, I would say if you really know what you want, what that thing is, that wish fulfillment that you want in the world, that you want to create or achieve, then you can filter everything with your business and your art practice through that. It's kind of like this perfect lens to look at the world. If you don't know what you want and you're confused, I think your marketing is confused, your messaging is confused, people don't quite get you. And you can go down that track and explore, you know, we've all explored things, but getting clear on what you want is a big piece of advice.
No, and I think that's a fantastic point to wrap things up. And what do you think, what's your next big goal then? It sounds like you've got quite a few irons in the fire.
Oh, I know. So my word for the year is now. And last year was Soulful with two L's, Soulful, to keep my soul full.
Yeah, full of souls. Yeah. Full.
And my goal, my next big goal, I have just been accepted to do a sailing creative residency on a sailboat around the Inner Hebrides in Scotland.
Wow, and I don't sail.
Fantastic. So I'm going to learn how to sail on the boat and make art on the boat. And it's a creative ecology residence. So it's very much tapping into nature and art. So I guess for
and
me,
my system again.
Exactly, it's, exactly. Yeah. So my next big goal is to not scare myself silly by going on the boat and to really enjoy it, but also to. Yeah, to let my soul fly, my creativity fly and develop this year, as well as be consistent with the day-to-day stuff on the business. It's very much about being here now, leaving room for magic, being soulful, all of those things. And it's not an actual achievement, but yeah, this is what you get when you put me on a podcast. You'll get lots of magical language, lots of whimsy.
Good. This is excellent because I will say that I'm not a whimsical person. So it's nice getting a different lens, a different vision because yeah, I'm much more scientific. I'm very much process driven. So it's lovely getting that, the flip side to it. So thank you so much for taking the plunge and chatting with me. This has been fantastic. So
that's been great. I've really enjoyed it. I'm so looking forward to hearing all your other episodes on this amazing podcast.
That concludes our enriching art journey with Kelly Herrick today. It has truly been an enlightening conversation, bridging the realms of nature's beauty with the transformative power of art. Kelly's insights have not only shed light on the creative process, but have also offered a pathway for anyone seeking to infuse their life with creativity. For those inspired by today's conversation and looking for practical tools to navigate the transformative phase of menopause with creativity, I encourage you to explore Kelly's Menopause Relief Toolkit, accessible at kellyherrick.com/toolkit. Additionally, for our listeners eager to enrich their lives with creative inspiration, Kelly's guide, 100 Ways to Find Your Creative Magic, is a valuable resource you shouldn't miss. Please find it at kellyherrick.com/100. I invite you to continue this journey of discovery and inspiration. Please subscribe to the Lazy Artrepreneur podcast for more artist conversations that explore creativity and personal growth. For links to the resources mentioned and to connect further, check out the show notes and follow us on our social media platforms. Thank you for joining us today's episode with Kelly Herrick. I look forward to bringing you more stories and insights that spark your curiosity and fuel your creative spirit. Until next time, there's a whole world of wild creativity out there just waiting for you to explore. Bye for now. Don't want to miss out on more tips from the Lazy Artrepreneur? Hit that subscribe button on your go-to podcast platform. And hey, if you've got artist buddies aiming to sell online, share this with them. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you soon.